Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that if we have no time for Bhagavatam, then our life is useless. That's his statement. Not my statement. I'm just repeating here. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of Krishna consciousness. Here everything is included. Bhagavad Gita is an introduction. It's a prelude for this. Srila Prabhupada explains, you have the Gita, then you have the Bhagavatam, and then you have the postgraduate studies, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the nectar. What is to leave Srimad Bhagavatam, day in and day out. In fact, in the introduction of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada presents 30 or more pages on the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he only writes 1.5 pages. Right? He only writes 1.5 pages establishing the absolute truth. Just with that 1.5 pages, that's all the Krishna conscious philosophy, it's condensed. But then he presents more than 30 pages on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Why? He explains that in his tiny comments while he's describing the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he describes his mission. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavatam in life and sound. In other words, if we want to understand Bhagavatam, then we have to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are very fortunate because we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with us. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So we are very, very fortunate to be to have been chosen, we may say, by him to be part of this movement. We may think, I took the steps. I did something. I shaved my head. I gave up this or I gave up that. I moved here or there. But in fact, he's the one who mercifully chose each one of us to be here. So the question today is, what does this narration of the Bhagavatam has to do with me? As Maharaj, what was his name? Vasudev Maharaj? Bhakti Vasudev Maharaj. He said, if anything we can relate with this pastime is that we generally are quarreling. Right? He talked a little bit about conflict resolution. Right? He spoke about emotional intelligence and like that. So there's a big fight here. And some of us sometimes have fights, some more regular than others, but yeah, conflict is there. Sometimes internal conflict. So Srila Prabhupada here is giving the supreme conflict resolution process. And who remembers what he says at the end of the purport? Anyone? I know that in the first few minutes we are trying to just land. Our mind is in so many places, but Mati? To become Krishna consciousness. Conscious. This is how Prabhupada ends his purport. He says, the fighting between the demons and demigods is perpetual. So that means that it's always going on. It cannot be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides take to Krishna consciousness. We have a thorough description of these natures, more than anything about the demoniac nature in Bhagavad Gita. Which chapter? 16th chapter. Divine and demoniac nature. And in the last verse of that chapter, generally Krishna, very kindly, summarizes the chapters of the Gita, particularly in the last verse. Right? So you don't have the time to read 72 verses, 78 verses, 42 verses, etc., etc. Then at least have a look at the last verse. Most of the chapters, the essence or the message of that chapter is given in the last few verses of the Gita. So in the last verse of chapter 16, it is explained that, or in the last two verses, that the criteria to determine who is divine and who is demoniac is, what is the criteria that Krishna explains? Yes, but he says something specific. He uses a topic, a theme, at the end of the Gita. In the last six chapters, he introduces something very important for us. The Vedas. Those who follow the Vedas are divine, and those who do not follow the Vedas are demoniac. This is the basic criteria. Of course, we can distort. There are some people who say this is Vedic, and then they do all sort of nonsense, distorted Vedic processes. But this is what Krishna says. If you want to be divine, then you follow the Vedas. And if you want to reject the Vedas, then you are considered demonic. So, in that chapter, Krishna explains what is to be demoniac and the attitude, the mentality. I am the enjoyer. Because of me, I have achieved so many things. Right? And then briefly, he tells in the beginning to Arjuna what is divine nature. And he says, don't worry, because you are endowed with divine nature. So here, in this particular pastime, the big fight happens. Eighth canto, as I said, it's very colorful. We find Gayendra in the beginning. We have Matsya avatar at the end. In between, we have Vamanadev. We have Mohini, Murti. We have a few avatars. So each of these cantos present different incarnations of Krishna and different messages that are according to the Bhagavatam itself. Seventh canto, Sukadev Goswami explains that there are 10 topics. Creation, sub-creation, maintenance, protection of the devotees, Krishna Katha, or descriptions of the Lord, His incarnation and His devotees, liberation, annihilation, surrender. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is the main process that we need to try to learn. This is, as I said, not for entertainment. It's so entertaining, all the details. There are some incredible descriptions. I mean, literally, it's like hard to believe. Some demons are running on the back of rats and rabbits and snakes and owls and vultures. That is enough to have a bunch of kids entertained for quite a while. But as I said, the purpose is not entertainment. The purpose is purification. Now, purification for the sake of what? One of the topics, one of the 10 themes of the Bhagavatam, it's liberation. We want to get free of these sufferings. But beyond liberation is surrendering. And that is the, we may say, or I may say, the hardest topic of all. Because it's easy to read how others surrender. Right? It's nice to read how Prahlad Maharaj surrendered. Prahlad Maharaj was born in the family of demons, so he is one of those that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, intelligent persons. Who else from the demon party surrendered? Huh? Bali, yeah, it's also 8th canto. Huh? Vibhishan, yeah. So demons and devatas do surrender And sometimes devatas do rebel, right? Which of the devatas rebel sometimes? Anybody? Indra? Who else? Brahma? Sometimes they rebel. So it's there. It's like this divine and demonic nature, it's like a constant battle. And some of us, we may say that within, I remember as a little boy, there was a cartoon. All cartoon. I forgot what was the character. I remember it was some animal. I don't know, it was a mouse or something. And it had two, there was one angel and then one little devil. And the devil will tell the character to do something wrong. And then they will fight. And they will argue. It's internal chatting is going on. So, this is the process of Krishna consciousness. It's perpetual. Maya is always telling us, don't do this. Do rather that. Deviate. This is too much. These people are too much. This process is too much. This Krishna is too much. I have heard sometimes some devotees becoming resented with Krishna. Why is Krishna doing this to me? Have you ever had that experience? No, I'm not saying you. Maybe you heard it. I'm sure you are. But sometimes some people may become resented with Krishna. Why is Krishna doing this to me? Right? And that's why it's important to read these passages. Why? Because then we see demons and devotees surrendering. After this narration, this description goes on, then what happens? Krishna appears. The demigods start losing the battle. And then Krishna appears. It's back and forth. You know, then the demons win and the demigods win, and it goes on like that. As Pancharana Prabhu was saying a couple days ago, that everything in this material world is going to be destroyed anyway. Right? Right? Even if you have the best of lives, the best of health, the best of luck, everything is going to finish. Sooner or later. Right? So Bhagavatam explains that the only thing that we can gain substantially, this is a word that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to use. Substantial. He liked that word. Is surrendering. If we are able to surrender, or we are able to come closer to surrender, then we are doing some substantial progress. If we are cheating ourselves and thinking that we are so great, and that I have done so much, and I deserve thus so much, then we are cheating ourselves. And this Bhagavatam starts with that premise. What's that? What's the second verse? Remember some of the pandits? What's that? Dharma Projita Kartavo. All the way from Los Angeles, Prabhu has to come and bring that. Hadiva. Dharma Projita Kaitava. Kaitava. We reject that which is fake. And that's Srila Prabhupada's gift. That he brought the real thing. Right? Coca-Cola is not the real thing, as the slogan says. Srimad Bhagavatam is the real thing. This is the real thing. And at least some of us who cannot surrender, or who cannot surrender fully, at least we owe Srila Prabhupada to have some decency and accept that what you're saying is true. Just like Arjuna, right? Arjuna presents his prayers in the Bhagavad Gita. And what does he say? I accept all what you have said as truth. Yeah, he's explaining. Krishna has been explaining things from second chapter onwards. And by the 10th chapter, he says, I accept. I accept. That's it. Krishna could have stopped the Gita in 10th chapter. That's it. No more. I sign. Where do I have to sign? I give up. He surrenders. Right? So this is the process. And as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, commenting on the Bhagavad Gita, these books, Gita, Bhagavatam, are like jewels, chests. You know, you have boxes and then you have the jewels there, you have jewelry, the ladies especially. And then you find in there golden ring and diamond, this, that, the other. So, when we read Bhagavatam, or Bhagavad Gita, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, or any other Vaishnava literature, especially produced by Srila Prabhupada, we need to look for those jewels. And those jewels are those verses, and the words, and the messages, and the purports that we receive from the devotees. So here we are sitting all together, reading Bhagavatam, very fortunate to be here in this holy dham of Sridhar Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya's home ground. And we're trying to find those jewels all together. That's the magic of Sadhu Sangha. Srila Prabhupada again and again emphasized, we need to read his books, we need to chant, we need to serve in association of devotees. And there's a magic to it, whether we understand or whether we like it or not. Right? For some, what's that saying? Simple for the simple, Prabhupada used to say, and crooked for the crook. So sometimes we're difficult to live with. Anyone has told you that? You're so difficult. Huh? We think we're so nice. But when somebody tells us, you're such a difficult character, that hurts. Right? Crooked for the crook. This is Kali Yuga. So here, this is maximized in this perpetual conflict. Devatas and demigods. However, this is not surprising. And in fact, the Bhagavatam throughout has many of these dramatic scenes. As we know, Bhagavad Gita is presented in a dramatic scenario. Right? How many people were about to die? Huh? No, how many people were meant to die there or end up dying? 640 million. Right? That's a lot of people. Okay? So it's not sometimes people say heaven. I want to go to heaven. Right? Some religious lines they say go to heaven. Okay, here is a description of what's going on in heaven. Right? People's heads, limbs, intestines will be flying around. Right? There are so many horses and animals running around. You know, when the sweepers are cleaning Mayapur in the morning and then you see like a little cloud of dust. And so the dust cloud was so thick that people can hardly see. The only time when they could see each other was when the blood, right, of those who were hurt will thicken the cloud and the cloud will come down. That was the intensity of this battle. But we have many other situations like that. We have somebody got decapitated. Who was that? Who got his head chopped? Huh? Daksha, right? Daksha got decapitated. Hiranyakashipu, he got, what's the word? Right? Deviscerated. How's that word? Yeah? His intestines got pulled out. Right? Disemboweled. Thank you. So, we may say it's not pretty. Right? However, still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Acharyas and great Vaishnavas glorified the Bhagavatam as the most effulgent jewel of all Vedic literature. How is it? How is it possible that such a gruesome, gnarly description of killing, what other killings are there? Huh? The boys of the sons of the Pandavas, right, were killed when they were sleeping. Horrible crimes take place in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? And there are so many others. Right? I had a whole list. So many others. However, the Bhagavatam is described as the most beautiful jewel of all Vedic literatures. Why? Because the purest expression of the heart, of the soul, in the form of surrendering to Krishna, is presented here. And that eclipses any other material detail or any other aspect that we may find in these sometimes gruesome descriptions. This is the most beautiful thing. And when we read about, as you all know, you feel something. And it's so nice to read, to hear Prahlad Maharaj prayers, right? That scene when he's putting the garland to Nrisimhadev, right? And Nrisimhadev is putting his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj. Right? So beautiful. You forget about all the, what was it called? Disembowel scene. That doesn't, it's blood all over there. That doesn't matter. You focus on that which touches your heart. And that encourages you to preach. Right? Why? Because Prahlad Maharaj, as Prabhupada explained, he was preaching. He said, Prabhupada is giving a class, and he said, as soon as there was some free time, Prahlad Maharaj preached. Right? The teachers, sometimes they would go and have a break or spaced out here and there. As soon as he saw an opening, then he would preach. And because he was such an intensive preacher, Nrisimhadev appeared. Because nobody messes up with my preacher. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? At the end, there will be, he gives three bonuses. Who knows what are those three boons that he gives? Pure devotional service is guaranteed for that one who preaches. What else? Who remembers? Huh? You will come to me. He will come to me. And the most beautifully put it, it's there. Which one is the other one? Third. No one will be more dear to me than him or her, politically correct. Right? Than the one who preaches. So this is the big battle. Right? This is the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada said twice in the Bhagavad Gita, this is a declaration of war. So we are at war. We may not like wars, but this is a war. Right? And Prabhupada used to say, the fighting spirit. Right? You heard that one? The fighting spirit. Fighting spirit, he referred to the mood of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Right? And sometimes when Prabhupada was glorified, he said, no, it's all the credit of Bhaktisiddhanta Sar. He had this chop-chop technique. He used that word. Chopping technique. You know? Cut. But sometimes we become a little allergic to this word because sometimes we misuse it. Preaching. It sounds like fanatics just talking with a book hand holding it up. You will go to hell if you don't do this or that. There are different ways to preach. But this is what Prabhupada wanted. So the question here in this pastime, again, is what does this have to do with me? Apart from the fact that sometimes we fight with one another. Right? Have you ever heard about conflicts among devotees? Fights among devotees? No? No. No, that doesn't happen. It's called friendly fire. Right? Friendly fire. Friendly fire means that sometimes you shoot someone in your own army. That's called friendly fire. You're dead. head blown. It's just a friendly fire. Right? Sometimes we read about these things. You know, the missiles, sorry, they went 100 yards away from the target, and it happened to kill 20 of our own soldiers. So sometimes that's what happens. And then you start shooting at each other, right? Just for fighting principle, Prabhu. You know, that's not correct. It's not correct. It's not, we are what do you call, training. We should argue with those who are against Krishna. We should argue against those who are opposing to Krishna. We shouldn't argue amongst ourselves. That's not healthy. But I know that happens. So the point here is surrender. So the surrendering comes later on. It's not so clear right now. We're right in the middle of the battle royal. The surrendering comes when the demigods are in trouble. That's what generally happens in this material world. When we are in trouble, then we surrender. In fact, the whole Bhagavatam is based on someone who got in trouble. Huh? Who was that? Huh? Parikshit. Parikshit Maharaj. The whole Bhagavatam is based on someone who got in trouble. Somehow or another, he got in trouble. What did he do? He offended a Brahmana. He thought the Brahmana is not respecting me. What's the name of the Brahmana? Shamika. Shamika Rishi. Right? So he came, he was tired, he was thirsty. And because he was the king, he was the emperor, Sambrat. He expected the Brahmana to give him some respect. Sit down, have some water, etc. But the Brahmin was so absorbed. You want to see those scenes downstairs after Mangal Arati when the Prabhus are chanting, or Matis, I don't know, Matis chant somewhere else. You know, and some of them are, I can see they are so fixed, really, really fixed in their chanting. Nothing happens to them. People may be shouting, this, that, walking, but they are fixed. You observe them. So, Samika Rishi was like that. He was fixed. Nothing. Nothing happened to him. Even the king came. But he didn't notice because he was so absorbed. And then what happened? Parikshit Maharaj got offended. Prabhupada explains, Kali Yuga start entering there. Right? And then as a matter of, how do you call that? Sarcasm. Oh, you're not honoring me. Let me honor you. I remember Divadma Prabhu said that he likes garlands. Right, Prabhu? You say that you like garlands. He loves garlands. He told the story. He loves garlands. So, Parikshit Maharaj says, okay, you love garlands? Let me give you a garland. And which garland did he give? Huh? Dead snake. He took it with the tip of his sword and put it on him. Here you go. Got your garland now. Okay, and then he went. But when he went, he became remorsed. What have I done? I have committed a great sin. Right? And he started worrying. But then he thought, let me surrender. Whatever happened, happened, let me surrender. Whatever has to come as a reaction to this, let me surrender. And then you know what came, right? Coincidentally, of course, his son, Samika Rishi, the son of Samika Rishi, what's his name? Sringi. Sringi. He was a very powerful boy. You know, like sometimes you see the Gurukul boys, some of them, right? Not only Gurukul boys, also here we have the Smiths, they are also powerful. Sometimes you see young kids and also young girls, some very powerful. Chanting, learning shlokas, coming for the programs, dancing. Sometimes you see like that. So this Sringi, he was very powerful. And when he came and then he saw this, right? He knew by his mystic powers what had happened. And then he said, this is blood, right? If somebody offends your father, right? If he's alive, in some cases, what would you do? Whatever. No, but something will call upon you, your anger. I'm going to revenge this person. So Sringi, he said, let a deadly snake appear and destroy him in 7 days. Right there. That's the power of the mystic boy. And then what happened when Shamika Rishi got to know this, then he said, you have offended the king. This is the Lord's arrangement. Why? You know, so everyone was confused. Sometimes the Lord makes no conflict resolution here. He has a different idea of what conflict resolution means. Sometimes bring more problems. Like Narada Muni. Right? Narada Muni is so powerful. He can go on just with a few cords. He could pacify everyone. But instead of that, what does he do? He teases people. Right? He increases the conflict. Instead of mediating it, he increases it. Why? So things happen quickly. Okay, just get this done, over and done with. You know, sometimes these dramas like that, you just want the thing to finish. We want to see who's the hero. So that's what happens in Bhagavatam. Things are speed up. And then when Parikshit Maharaj got to know through a messenger that Samika Rishi sent to him, he said, you're going to die, my dear king. We're very sorry to inform you, but you're going to die in 7 days. And what did Parikshit Maharaj do at that time? He surrendered. And how did he surrender? He accepted. This is Krishna's arrangement. Okay? And then he leaves everything. He goes to the bank of the Ganges. He takes a vow to fast until death. And more importantly than anything, he did something. What was that he do? Apart from fasting and renouncing everything. What is that he did? He? Yes. Yes. He wanted to hear. He wanted to hear. It says that this is the last sense to go. At some point, your organs are so affected that you cannot even taste. Then you have problem breathing, seeing, moving your hands, sometimes touching. I have seen, I used to work in hospitals, and sometimes the doctors come and poke patients to see their sensitivity. Yeah? They can feel cold or they can feel. Sometimes they cannot feel. Right? But hearing is very powerful. Right? The last thing that we need to do when we are dying, when the body is dying, is to hear. Right? So, Parikshit Maharaj went to look for the Mahatmas. In his heart, he wanted to hear. And what was the question? What was the main question of the Bhagavatam? There are many questions, many conversations, many pastimes, many incarnations, 10 topics, etc. But if there's one question, we have the questions by the sages in the first chapter of the first canto, right? There are 6 questions, right? But the main question, the running question of the Bhagavatam, how many verses the Bhagavatam has? 18,000. Right. One question. What a dying man needs to know, needs to do before his death? That's the only question. At some point, we may have many questions. Prabhupada says the birds are chirping, and what is that they're asking? Where is food? Right? Where is food? You see the dogs running around? They have one question. Where is food? Where are my puppy dogs? Where is the she dog or my he dog? Like that. They are asking. Huh? My. But there's one point in life when we would have to face that single question. What do I do now? And what is the answer that Bhagavatam gives? Surrender. Surrender to Krishna. Okay? Again, we are running out of time. Because the next question is, what does surrender mean, Prabhu? What does surrender mean? We have no time for that. But we want to make it simple. Krishna says, Pariprasnena Sivaya. Right? Tadvidi pranipatena Pariprasnena Sivaya. Upadekshanti te gyanam Gyaninas tvata darshinaha. Look for a spiritual master, right? And ask him questions. Ask him that question particularly. Right? Know how to make more money or be healthier. You know? I mean, you may ask those things, I don't know. But they ask those questions to Prabhupada as well. But the main question is what I need to do before I die. Not just before I die, because we are in the process. Krishna book explains, Prabhupada says, when Kamsa was about to kill Devaki, and Vasudev was trying to save her life. So he was preaching to Kamsa, what is this dying? We all are dying. Every day we are closer to death. So why you worry so much about the time? We are all dying. Everyone is dying. You know, so he's trying to persuade him, he's trying to give him different arguments. But the main point here is that these 18,000 verses, 12 cantos, are all about somebody like us who was about to die. The difference with most of us is that he knew when. He knew that in 7 days he will go. We don't know when. Prabhupada said maybe 7 days, maybe 7 months, 7 years, or 7 minutes. We don't know. Or less than that. But that is the question. And that is the answer that Bhagavatam gives. Surrender to Krishna. So, let me just finish this with rereading what Prabhupada says at the end of the purport. The fighting between the demons and demigods is perpetual. It cannot be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides take to Krishna consciousness. So we stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we have a few minutes. Yeah? You tell me, you know better. Acharya, was that? Acharya, is that the verse you're looking for? That's there, but I don't know which one are you referring to. You tell us.
Somebody who knows more than this,
Did everyone hear what Prabhu said? The basic principle of surrender is to truly accept the spiritual master in the way that we accept that he knows better than me. Unless we accept that point, then even if you have a spiritual master, but you think, oh, I know better, then you cannot make advancement. That's a, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu says, that's a principle in learning. If students, if you think that you know more than your teacher, you know what happens. It's a mystic process. It's a mystic process. When you realize, this person is here, he knows more than me, he knows better than me, and thus I serve him, I respect him, I do something for him, that's a Vedic principle. Then the mystic dynamic happens. Then you're endowed with knowledge, with realization. Prabhupada explains that in the preface of the Nectar of Instruction, that if we situate ourselves in the process given by the spiritual master, the Lord reveals itself, himself. The Lord reveals. So if we are sincere, then we will know. So Srila Prabhupada knows. That's why he dedicated his Bhagavatam to his Guru Maharaj, and he writes this famous introduction. Who remembers by heart the introduction? It's in the first canto. Anybody? Two? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, who lives forever in his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. That's the principle. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantharaj Madhavatan ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.